Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from the reading appointed for this morning, the last verse. Jesus says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, nobody's perfect. We've all heard this phrase, and probably most of us have said it at one time or another. People use this phrase to reassure themselves, to excuse themselves when they've blown something, made a mistake, when they've forgotten something. Now, this morning with our text, we're not concerned with the fact that we make typing mistakes, or that we don't always get 100% on a test, or that at times we forget to send a relative a birthday card. Rather, we're talking about being perfect in the sense of not sinning or sinning, in the sense of being obedient to or breaking the holy will of God, of violating or keeping God's holy commandments, of being holy or not holy. Jesus says to us, "Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." To which we respond, "Is Jesus serious?" The answer, he is. Again, Jesus in our text tells us, "Be perfect." In considering this word of Jesus, we know on the one hand that we are not perfect, but on the other hand, that God regards us as perfect for Jesus' sake. We and all other people are far from being perfect. We are by nature sinful and unclean. As soon as we are conceived, we are sinful, and then we grow up and are guilty of sins of commission and omission. We disobey God's commandments in many and various ways with our thoughts and words and deeds. Because people are sinful, they have lost to a large extent a sense of the sinlessness of God, of the total, absolute purity and holiness of God. We have to be on guard lest we fall into this wrong kind of thinking ourselves. God himself is perfect, and he demands perfection. That is the only standard which is acceptable with God. Holiness, perfection. God is satisfied with nothing, with not one iota less. The holy God can have fellowship only with that which is clean, pure, holy, perfect. Because people have lost to a large extent a sense of the sinlessness, of the holiness of God, they are tricked by the devil in depending on their works for their salvation. They think, "I'm going to heaven because I've been a good person. I've lived a good life. I've never cheated on my income tax reports. I haven't committed adultery. I'm not on drugs." But the truth is, good isn't good enough with God. Nor is a person being quite good, pretty good, really good, very good. Again, the holy God demands holiness. Only total perfection cuts it with God. And no one is perfect. That's the sad, bad news. The good news is this. As great as the holiness of God is his grace and his love and his mercy. God thought of a plan of rescue for us imperfect ones. The good news, the amazing news, is that God regards us as perfect for Jesus' sake. The Apostle Paul, at the beginning of a number of his epistles, refers to his addressees as saints, holy ones, hagioi. How could those early Christians be considered as saints? And how can we today be considered as holy ones? First of all, in this way, Christ has acquired, won, achieved righteousness, perfection for us and for all people. He, the God-man, the substitute for all humanity, accomplished this with his active and passive obedience. He did this with his perfect life and with his innocent, bitter suffering and death, with his experiencing hell on the cross for us. Then he arose from the dead, proving that he was victorious over sin and the devil and death, and that his self-sacrifice for our sins was all sufficient to God the Father. We know the gospel truth through faith in Jesus Christ, faith which the Holy Spirit works in us, creates in us, and preserves in us through the gospel. We receive the righteousness, the perfection Christ has won, which he has achieved for us. God reckons, transfers it to us who believe in Jesus Christ. We are clothed, covered with this holiness of Jesus, so that God declares to us, you are righteous in my sight. You are clean, pure, holy, perfect for Jesus' sake. God can also regard us as saints, as holy ones, because of the new person he has created in each one of us at our conversion. By nature, we are totally corrupt, but at our conversion, there was a change. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This new person, which the Scripture also calls our spirit, is holy, righteous, perfect. This new person wants to do only what is right and pleasing to God. This new person is in union with Jesus Christ. This new person is the real you, the real I. This new person, our spirit, goes to heaven when our bodies die. Unfortunately, as we are well aware, a remnant of our old sinful nature still remains. This scripture calls the flesh. There is a constant struggle in our lives between our spirit and our flesh. But our spirit, in union with Jesus Christ, has the power to knock down the flesh, to crucify the flesh, to overcome sin, and to produce good works. This brings us to the third way in which God regards us as saints. Again, because of our salvation, because of our new life in Jesus Christ. According to our new person, in union with Christ, we actually do good works. Not that these good works will save us, of course not. God demands perfection if a person is to be saved. And we still sin and will keep on sinning until the day we die because we don't always use the power that we have in Christ to overcome sin. The primary way in which God regards us as holy ones, the way which results in our salvation, is because of what he has done for us in Christ Jesus. But as the Epistle James reminds us, in a secondary way, in a way which could never result in our salvation, God does regard us as saints, as holy ones, because of the good works we do as Christians. We do these good works only in the power of Christ, and Christ's blood covers any imperfections in our works. And here we come to the main thrust of Christ's words in our text. Be perfect. The Greek ezestha, a future tense, you shall be, is equal to an imperative. Be perfect. Christ, who taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is placing a challenge before us. This side of the grave, we will never be perfect in the sense of being without sin, but let us strive for that kind of perfection. Let us move and progress toward that kind of perfection. United with Jesus Christ, let us improve in our living. Let us exercise more and more the power that we have in Christ over sin, so that our victories over sin will increase, so that we grow in producing fruit for the Lord. Martin Luther wrote, we must keep striving for it, namely perfection, and moving and progressing toward it every day. This happens when the Spirit is master over the flesh, holding it in check, subduing and restraining it. In the power of Christ, we can move closer to this goal of perfection in living. until the day we die, when our sinful, corrupt flesh will be destroyed forever, and when our spirits, the new person, will go to the perfection and splendor of heaven. Jesus says to us, be perfect. Our reaction? Sorrow. Because we are not perfect, we are sinners. Our reaction? Joy. Because we know that God regards us as righteous because of all that he has done for us in Christ Jesus. Our reaction? Taking up this challenge of Christ in his power. Amen.